From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Arizona Daily Star sports editor Ryan Finley, joined today by Michael Lev. What's up, man?
We have a special guest today, don't we, Ryan?
We do. Robbie Medel, former Arizona Wildcats pitcher, joins us, and we're going to talk college baseball. The Arizona Wildcats play Arizona State Tuesday night at High Corbett Field in what is a non-conference game, and we can get into that later. And then this weekend, obviously, the Wildcats take on USC at High Corbett. This is a team, Michael, that had you asked me a week ago, I would have said dead in the water. But a big weekend against Oregon turned things around, and there might be some signs of life here.
There might be. I think the best news is that they've sort of cleared the decks as far as the schedule goes.
Right.
They've played all the really good teams in the conference, who also happen to be some of the best teams in the country. Unfortunately, they went 0-9 against those three teams, UCLA, Oregon State, and Stanford. Oh, I'm sorry, they went 1-8 against those three teams. Sorry, correction. 1-11 if you include the ASU series. So that's obviously not ideal. They easily could have won one of the UCLA games and one of the ASU games, and if they had done that, I think we'd sort of be having a different conversation right now. So USC, Penn State, Washington State, these are all winnable games. I think it's not inconceivable that they could come something close to winning out, which is, I think, what it would take to sneak into the NCAA tournament, but it's still a long shot. And the reason that it's a long shot is because there still isn't enough pitching that you can count on. And we have a pitching expert here and Robbie Medel, who played under Jay Johnson, who played under Dave Lawn. Let's just start with this, Robbie, just your general sort of overview of what's going on with the pitching this year. Like, why has the pitching not taken that step forward?
I think it's a more of a common thing in the NCAA. I don't know pitching numbers around the conference or around the nation, but I think runs are more common than ever before. Guys are hitting more and more, and but as a staff, I mean, there's a lot of talent. I mean, there's no lack of talent. Nardi, tons of talent. Bryce Collins, tons of talent. These are first year guys with the program. So it's hard to say, hard to really knock one thing or another. I just think, the Pac-12 is a tough, tough conference to play in. And guys can hit. And, I mean, they're scoring tons of runs too. So I really need to look at the numbers around the nation to see if that's more of a common thing. But it's hard for me to place one.
Well, let me ask you this. When you do look at the stats and you see tons of walks, I think they're last in the conference in walks per nine. What does that say to you about, I don't know, is it a mentality thing? Is it a confidence thing when guys aren't throwing strikes on a consistent basis who obviously have the talent to be here?
Yeah, I mean, tons of talent, lots of big names. And, it's a confidence thing. It could be a mental thing. Strikes are contagious. Walks are more contagious. Balls are very contagious. And I think that's just what we've seen is that's kind of like been the MO of this team. They can't pitch. And it gets to kids. It
becomes a narrative.
It does. Yeah. And, we see what people write on Twitter. We see what you write about us. And I've never seen a bad thing from you or anybody, at the Daily Star for sure. But, we see what's on Twitter. And we say, yeah, it doesn't affect us, but it may.
Does that change kind of the attack mentality that you have to have as a pitcher?
No. I mean, it's never like you're on the mound, you're thinking, oh man, I can't believe what Steve Johnson said about me. Never.
Right.
But, it could maybe affect your preparation.
Sure.
And we're never going to admit it. Mm-hmm. I would never admit it, and I still won't to this day, but who knows? It might. Mm-hmm. And, not everybody's the same.
I sort of see a lack of confidence in some of these guys when they come, they come out of the bullpen and it's like ball, ball, ball. Like, I just feel like the staff this year lacks like that sort of dude factor of just a couple guys who just have all the confidence in the world, and like no matter what they're gonna get outs. And we've seen a little bit of progress lately. I mean, Randy LeBow, I guess it's LeBow now.
It was LeBow.
Okay. Anyway, he's been better lately.
Vanelli's
been excellent.
Been great.
Nardi after the first inning was really good the other day, and I keep hearing that the scouts still love him, even though his numbers haven't been there. But you know, you mentioned Twitter, and like one of the big targets on Twitter is pitching coach Dave Lawn. You obviously played for Dave Lawn for years. Tell us about what it's like to play for him, what kind of a guy he is, what are some of the things you learned from him?
I love Dave Lawn. I can never, ever in my life say a bad thing about Dave Lawn. And the thing is, he has a plan, and it's drawn out from day one to game 56. And there's a schedule. There's things we need to do day in, day out, and he has it all planned out. I would never blame development, the balls, or anything on Coach Lawn. You know, at the end of the day, you know, players win games. Coaches coach, players play, right? Dave Lawn's not throwing the pitches. And not to say anything bad about any of the guys on the team. There's tons of talent. And it's hard to say what it is. You know, from years past, we've had the dude factor, like you said. We had Banny. We had Deason, Flynn, McGill. Guys that would come in and just fill it up and stoppers, right? It's lacking this year, and for whatever reason, I can't tell you. But it's not Coach Lawn's fault. And I hate that Twitter's attacking our coaching staff. It's year four of, you know John, Coach Johnson has a 10-year contract or whatever it is. We got to play it out. And we talked to you about this last night. Results are the thing in college baseball and all sports in general. And, you know, he's one down year, and everybody's already like, get this guy out of here. You know, Lopez had down years where people saying, get this guy out of here right away. You would know, right?
People said, let's get Tracy Smith out of here for sure. Like I'd say for at least 2 years running at ASU are now.
It was a surprise that he came back, I think. Yeah, I mean, kind of given all the mounting pressure. I'm covering Andy Lopez back in the day. You know, I think he had kind of an outsider syndrome where he came in and everybody went, who's this guy from Florida? Even though Lopes was, you know, San Pedro, California. But he had a ring. I think that early on, people were sort of skeptical of him. And then, you know, the longer he was here, I think the more he sort of bought and earned that trust among the fan base. I think Jay Johnson has that. I don't know why Jay Johnson's assistants don't.
I think people
need to blame somebody. Yeah. For this, and
the and it's pitching easier to coach blame the pitching coach than the,
it's sort of like, yeah, when the Arizona defense is struggling, I think people blame Marcel Yates. They didn't blame Rich Rodriguez. They didn't blame Kevin Sumlin. They blame the defensive coordinator. And Dave Lawn is essentially the defensive coordinator as the pitching right. coach.
And I think your average fan, and Robbie, you can tell me if I'm wrong here. I think your average fan is pretty loath to criticize like a college freshman for not being good at his job, quote unquote. I think your average fan would rather say, well, this is probably the fault of the highly paid 52-year-old who's in charge of him.
Which is what we do too. I mean, we try not to criticize the kids because they're still amateurs.
Right.
The paid professionals, that's a different story.
Right.
The thing about freshmen, though, you brought that up. Freshmen got to be ready to play.
Yeah.
I mean, how many freshmen are playing right now? You
a
would know
ton. A ton. I mean, the roster is almost 50%,
and the freshmen
newcomers
are good.
There's a lot of them really are really good. Freshmen. Yeah,
Dooney, Wiley, those guys are dudes.
But Brandon Bossier is hitting .372 in Pac-12 play. Jeez. How about that? Dayton Dooney's hitting .339 in Pac-12 play. Austin Wells is hitting .356 overall.
20 years old, but freshman.
You know, I mean, Ryan Holgate struggled a little bit, but still has 5 home runs, which in this ballpark for a freshman is pretty good.
In the Pac-12 as a freshman, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just in general.
So if you look at the way that Jay has built the team and the way he's talked about it, like he really tried to kind of patch things together initially. There were a lot more transfers, older guys. Let's just kind of do it year by year. There was going to be kind of a reset at some point. Mm-hmm. This happened to be that year where he had to turn over basically half the roster. Okay. As we mentioned, a lot of those freshmen have done well. It hasn't been the case necessarily on the pitching side of things. You look at some of the guys like Bryce Collins getting injured, I think was a big deal. You look at someone like Randy Abshire, like he looks like what you want like a lefty to look like. He's tall, long, throws really hard, but maybe he's just not quite ready yet. And I think he was kind of hoping that some of those junior college guys like Nardi, Nate Brown would maybe be able to give them a few more innings. Avery Weems mm-hmm. has been just up and down. this year, just like he was last year. So they haven't been able to kind of bridge the gap as much as hoped. And the result is that they're still under 500 here in early May.
And that's the risk you take when you turn over a roster. I mean, it's not his fault, but when you bring in so many new guys, there are just fewer certainties.
This is the thing I was talking about. Patience. Just, it's a 10-year, he's a 10-year contract. And you said there was going to be a down year, the year that we had to flip the roster. And if this is that year, so be it. We're scoring 9 runs a game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Almost 10 runs a game. Yeah, we're giving up 6, almost 7 a game.
Mm-hmm.
But think about that in the years come, like Bryce Collins and some of those younger pitchers will mature. We might get some junior college guys back, junior college guys coming in again. And Randy for another year maybe. And with that offense, next year has a lot to look forward to. And this year's not done.
Right. Well, starting with tonight, Arizona plays ASU. It's a non-conference game. This is the way this thing goes, right? Is every year they have one conference mm-hmm. series. This year that conference series was in Tempe. Then usually there's 2, I believe, non-con games.
Often
at the other place. And so tonight Arizona plays ASU. Robbie, since we've got you here, you have to have some good ASU stories.
None. Yeah, I'll tell you what, the rivalry is the fans thing.
Okay.
And I think that in a lot of sports, athletes will tell you that the fans paint the rivalry. And that's what I feel like in baseball, at least between U of A and ASU. We have a lot of great games, close games. Senior night last year was great. Walk off, Dante threw the hole. But I don't hate anybody over there. Right. I don't think they hate us. Mm-hmm. It's just another baseball game. We just happen to be in the same state.
What was the atmosphere like for that weekend series last year?
It was awesome. And we were kind of in a similar spot as this team now, conference-wise. We hadn't really blown anybody out of the water. We were around 500.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, Arizona last year, I think at one point was 6-11
in conference,
and then rallied to get to 14-16, which proved to be just not quite enough.
One game,
but one game. Remember this? Do you remember the middle game of the Stanford series, the one where Blast hit the in the park homer to give you guys the lead, and then Stanford was able to come back? That was really maybe like the one game you could point to, the kind of the gut punch game that was the difference last year between making the postseason and not.
Yeah. Yeah, but to go back to Ryan's question, the rivalry thing, it's not us. If there's a team that I think every year we look forward to playing, maybe it's UCLA.
Okay. Because of the SoCal guys on the team?
I think that's probably more – we have more SoCal guys than Arizona guys.
Sure.
Maybe Oregon State. I look forward to that one a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
But the ASU one, it's more of the fans thing. It's cool to play them because a lot of people come.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere is great, but it's more of the fans thing than
ours. Interesting. I think maybe part of that might be that, like, Oregon State and UCLA, that's the gold standard of the conference, you know? And maybe you get up for that a little bit. So interesting thing about our guest here, Robbie Medel, played for Andy Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, of course, covered Andy Lopez extensively. They were you guys were having quite a gab fest earlier with your favorite little Andy Lopez stories. What's sort of the lasting impression or memory that you have from playing for Arizona's former coach, who of course led the Wildcats to the national championship in 2012?
It wasn't all about baseball. That was the greatest thing, I think, and it's cool that you guys are smiling and nodding. Ryan, you know him really well. It wasn't all about baseball. Winning was, the goal, going to Omaha, winning a national championship, that was the goal. But he really preached and practiced what he preached on. He wanted us to be men, and he wanted us to teach us how to be men because he had seen some stuff. He knew what, life was about, and he had had rough times and great times, and he wanted us to be men and teach us what he knew to help us become better men, better fathers, better husbands. And he said that all the time. You're not going to play professional baseball, some of you. You're going to need to be a good man. I want to teach you if I can. And he did.
He would tell stories. We'd go out before practice and talk to him, just like you do with Jay now, Michael. And, and I'd ask him about – and Robbie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'd ask him about a decision he made or roster construction or something, who Sunday's starter might be. And he'd be like, adversity isn't, you know, can you go, you know, 2 for 3 tonight? You know, I just got off the phone with a guy I used to coach at Florida, and his wife is dying. And he called me because he needed to talk to somebody. Or he'd say, you know, my mom is 93 years old, living in San Pedro. And, you know, when we were playing at UCLA, I'd go over to her house and I'd have to lift her into bed. That's adversity, right? Adversity is I can't stand up. Adversity is my wife is dying. Adversity is, you know, my kids are losing their mom. It's not, you know, can this 20-year-old on scholarship turn it around at the plate? And what I liked about Lopes took baseball. So baseball almost killed him.
Twice. Yeah.
Baseball almost killed him. He took it incredibly seriously, but he was able to step back, right? He'd have the saying, you know, one eye's a microscope, one eye is a telescope. Do you ever hear that one?
No.
Oh, it's a good one.
I only had him for 1 year, so.
one, you got to focus on the granular stuff. And on the other one, you got to step back. And he, more than any coach I've ever covered, did a good job of stepping back and understanding that while it's super important to him, there's real life out there and you need to be ready for real life out there. And, you know, I think that he has hundreds of former players who would come and help him out at the drop of a hat. Robbie, I know you're one of them.
Yeah, I would. 100% would.
And that's, you know, the influence he had. He wasn't just a coach. He was a male role model.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that I played for him. Mm-hmm. And I played for Jim Schlossnagel.
Sure.
And I played for Jay Johnson. He's really early in his career, but I like to say this all the time. I played for 3 coaches, mm-hmm. Jay being, you know, hopefully, mm-hmm. that are just absolute just role models of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And just embody college baseball, like what it looks like a college baseball coach. And I hope, you know, Skip gets there soon.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he had one of the quickest paths to 100 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on his way. And
I mean, didn't he turn down Texas? More or less turn down Texas?
You might know more than
I do. I mean, in his early 40s, the University of Texas wanted to throw a bunch of money at him. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a sign he's headed for great things. And the fact that he stayed, I think, is a testament to the kind of person he is.
And here's the thing for everybody that's on the get Jay Johnson out of here boat.
Mm-hmm.
He told me the day that I met him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Robbie, I'm going to be here for 25 years.
Wow.
I'm going to be here for 25 years. I'm going to win national championships here. I'm not going anywhere. We're mm-hmm. going to win. Are you in? I'm like, yeah, let's go. Can we play right now?
Right. That's great.
And so for all the people that are out there, and I hope that some of them are listening. I don't know mm-hmm. if they will.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the Jay Johnson get out of here boat, jump off
mm-hmm.
and swim to shore and get some sense that this man is going to win baseball games. He knows how to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows how to recruit.
He knows how to recruit.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, but why aren't we winning? We have all of his recruits. It's his time now.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient. Right. There's so much talent on this team.
People talk about, you know, Arizona's struggles as a football program, not having the tradition, maybe not having the resources that some of the mm-hmm. other schools have.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball has everything that you can mm-hmm. want, right? Mm-hmm. Tons of tradition, great resources, best ballpark, best fan base,
mm-hmm.
probably in the entire West Coast. So yeah, everything is in place. Well, you're
best
you
fan base in the West Coast. Well, I'm impressed.
I would say based on attendance,
yeah.
wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, no one draws as much as Arizona does.
So yeah, if you look at the numbers, we are number one in the West Coast attendance wise.
Wow,
I've played at a lot of places on the West Coast now.
Right.
I mean, Fullerton, never played at Long Beach, but a lot of the, you know, bigger West Coast schools, we are number one.
Right? Yeah,
the only one that would challenge us is Oregon State. They'd say they're better than us, but we have a bigger park.
Sure,
more people come to our games.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I know this is a down year, but I agree with Robbie. I think patience is required here. I mean, you can see the talent that's already in place,
mm-hmm.
depending on whether some guys come back next year, mm-hmm. even though they're going to lose Quintana and Cannon, the offense might even be better
mm-hmm.
than it is now, which is scary. So they could just get like,
going to be great.
Yeah. If they can just get decent pitching,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to be great, decent pitching, and they can have a really good year next year.
If I can quote Andy Lopez, you know, it's a game played by
the players?
Young people.
Oh, there we go.
Young people.
It's a game played by young people. If it were easy, or, you know, I mean, it's a game played by young people. There's no reason. Nobody is number, you know, in the top five every year in college baseball.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's not the kind of sport it is, right? I mean, you may see LSU going to Omaha 5 years out of 8.
TCU 5 years in a row.
Right. You know, something like that. But, you know, it's hard. Winning – this is my big takeaway, Robbie. You're going to laugh at me. Working in sports journalism and covering teams. My big takeaway is winning is really hard to do consistently.
We know that.
Yeah. Winning is hard. Winning is hard to do consistently.
Winning's hard to do in general, whether you're playing you know, Oregon State, mm-hmm. or you're playing Lamar University, right. in South Texas.
Sure. Doesn't
Isn't that why Jay takes the photo after every game?
Because
winning is hard.
Needs yeah. to be celebrated.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's why we take the photo. And I want to get this in about Skip, because I was going a little Skip yeah. rant. He will never lay down. We could be 0-for right now, and he would go out and try to win every single game as if we were, you know, undefeated, mm-hmm. or playing for a national championship. Every game is that big for him. And when people see him, you know, maybe get beside himself on some calls or performances, it's just because he cares about the kids. He cares about winning. And he wants us to have the best experience we can have while we're there. And that's why I did a lot of the stupid stuff I did, because he allowed me to have the best experience I could while I played for him.
Right. Well, and quickly, and that's exactly where I was going to go next. You know, those of you listening who might not be able to place the name with the player, you may remember Robbie Medel from getting his hair shampooed in the dugout.
That wasn't me. That was decent.
Okay, that was decent. Okay. Were you doing the shampooing?
No, that was Sawyer. That was Sawyer Gieske. I was not.
Robbie was kind of the ringleader of the dugout, which got a ton of play on ESPN
right.
throughout the entire postseason run in 2016.
And you did the music videos, yes? Sawyer?
Sawyer filmed them.
Right.
Sawyer was kind of the mastermind.
Right.
Robbie was the lead singer.
I was just the lead singer and star. I mean, I was like, I told Sawyer, I go, hey, let's, because we did it like at a get together once.
Right.
Because we were tired of hearing rap music. We're like, let's play some 90s rock. So we did it, and we did an air band thing. And I was like, Sawyer, we have an off day today. Let's film something. He's like, let me think. And then we filmed for 9 hours straight, put out a video, and it went viral.
Was it Slide?
Slide by the Goo Goo Cats.
They were the Goo Goo Cats. I remember that.
Yeah.
Something I learned about Robbie Medel last night, which makes me like him even more. Red Hot Chili Peppers guy.
Love him. It's thumbs up. 90s rock.
Last night. What happened last night,
Ryan? Oh, we were talking rock music.
Why were we all together last night?
Perhaps we were playing a softball game.
Yeah, we might have.
Perhaps. Perhaps we made a deep run in the playoffs. Yeah. But yeah, we were talking 90s rock music. Robbie Medel, old soul. I like it.
Yeah, I love 90s rock music. And I also love baseball, Arizona sports. And people, they're going to win out and make the tournament. I'm sorry. I think they are. I've seen not a lot of people, mainly Lev and Ari mm-hmm. Alexander, Channel 4 sports guy.
Oh, yeah.
Tweeting. You know him?
Yeah, I know him. I'm aware of him. Yes.
Tweeting out this scenario of if they win out, they can get in. Ari seemed a little sarcastic because that's mm-hmm. just Ari. Mm-hmm. Lev said he put it in his notes. I didn't read it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the schedule is manageable. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but right. it's not like inconceivable that they could go on a run here.
Right, and it's USC this weekend, followed by who?
Penn State and Washington State, who are both in last place.
Right, Pac-12 rival both Penn road. State. Very, very exciting.
Both, but, you know, they always have to fill that one
finals week.
Yeah. In the because only 11 teams play
right.
Pac-12 baseball, so there's always that one open week. I wonder. I wish I could go to State College. That sounds like fun, right?
Right. Does 9-0 get them in, do you think?
9-0.
Well, then plus two.
They'll be 16-14 in conference.
Right.
And
if they went out in conference, yeah, they'd be 16-14.
Because we learned last year that, I mean, you got to be 500 or better.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah. So the year we went to Omaha, we were 16-14.
Correct.
The mm-hmm. year we went to Tech and lost in 17, we were 16-14. Mm-hmm. The year we didn't make it, we were 14-16.
Right.
So, people were saying that 15-15 wouldn't have gotten us in last year. Mm-hmm. We needed one more other than that. Even though we were the first team out, I heard some murmurs that 15-15 may not have even gotten us in. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to leave 16-14 out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also really hard to leave a team on a run
right.
that hot at the end of the season out. And we're going to score runs. ESPN wants runs. ESPN wants big names. Why wouldn't they put Arizona in if they're 16-14? Right. I'm lobbying.
Right. It's a television show, right?
Yeah.
Playoffs are a television show. ESPN wants the most compelling television. Robbie Medel, thank you so much for Absolutely. Joining us on this episode of the Wildcast. Michael Lev, we're having him back,
this
right?
This is fun. Definitely going to have Robbie back.
Definitely
no question.
Yes. Yikes. Yes. For Robbie, for Michael, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.